morning is craving God's best. Craving God's best. What is a craving? It's a powerful desire for something. Powerful desire for something. A food craving is an intense desire to consume a specific food. Here are the five most craved foods. See if any of those happens to be a food that you crave as an individual. Number one, you can imagine what it is. Chocolate. Doesn't that look good? We should get that one of those chocolates. That isn't a surprise, is it? Most professionals tell us the reason for such a craving is that the body has become deficient in magnesium. 80% of us don't get enough magnesium. That's what they say is one of the reasons that you do crave chocolate. Number two, salt or salty foods. Believe it or not, craving salt or salty foods means that person is dehydrated. You wouldn't think that, but that's the case. Salt cravings can also be an indication of a chloride deficiency. Number three, sugar or sugary foods. A hankering for the sweet stuff may be as simple as a need for some quick energy. A quick energy fix from stress or from lack of sleep. Number four, fatty or oily foods. Craving fat or fatty foods may be caused by a proper low-fat intake. The right kind of fat is essential and an essential ingredient in healing and replacing cells in one's body. It's especially vital in joint health. It is also a vital component in many other bodily functions. Here's number five. Pasta and bread pastries. Oh, it's kind of delicious too, isn't it? There's a reason why they are called comfort foods. Eating carbs actually triggers your body's release of serotonin. It's called the happy hormone. This could be why so many reach for baked goods when they are feeling down. Here's something that is interesting. Doctors tell us we are what we eat. We are what we eat. And it's true. But that's not good news for most of us. Nutritionists tell us some very interesting things. Appetite determines diet. Diet determines intake. Intake determines health. Scientists tell us that certain foods raise your cholesterol and may lead to heart disease and even premature death. By the same token, certain foods are good for you, especially fruits. Then there's lean meat. And then there's the complex carbohydrates. Some of you may be under doctor's orders to follow a particular diet. For some, the purpose may be simply to lose weight. For others, life itself may be at stake. The presence of hunger and thirst is a good thing. To begin with, hunger and thirst are evidence of life. Fit people have no appetite. The fact that you are what you eat is not only true of the body, but friends, it's also true of the spirit. Whatever you seek in life, you tend to find. Maybe sexual pleasure, financial gain, or personal happiness, or it may be something higher and better. Jesus challenges us to look at our spiritual appetite with the penetrating words of our fourth beatitude. What does it say? Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In this simple sentence, Jesus tells us that the degree of our spiritual hunger and thirst determines our spiritual health. In order to grasp its meaning for us, we need to explore this verse in more detail. Now, if you want to understand the fourth beatitude, we need to know what Jesus means by the term righteousness. What is righteousness? It's a mystery to many people. We know it has something to do with being right, doing right, but for most, that's about all it means to them. Whenever you come to a term in the Bible that you maybe don't quite understand, it is always helpful to look at other passages of Scripture that may shed some light on it. That in mind, let's look at four other uses of this word in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, know what Jesus says. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. That's the eighth and final beatitude. So when you take the fourth and the eighth beatitude together, you come up with something like this. We are to hunger and thirst after a kind of life that may at some point cause some people to persecute us for our faith. That may be the end result. The second use of righteousness comes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Here Jesus states this. I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. What were the Pharisees guilty of doing? They concocted a religious system built around in intricate rules and regulations and traditions. It was very professional, but very routine. It was like wearing cheap perfume that you splash on to make yourself smell good. It's really not a part of you, and it really can't cover the odor underneath. True righteousness starts in the heart, and it changes a person from the inside out. Here's the third use of the word righteous in the Sermon on the Mount. It's actually found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. He said this, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You see, the Pharisees loved to pray in public and to pray loudly. They loved to dress up in their religious garb and throw their offering into the metal containers so people could hear the coins rattle. They would sacrifice anything to win the praise of other people. Their religion was built around the praises of people. And they still thought God would reward them in some manner. But it was a cotton candy kind of religion. That's the kind of religion they had. It looked good. There really wasn't any substance. Like old Mother Hubbard's cupboard, there actually was nothing there. By contrast, true disciples seek a righteousness that does not need to be seen by others, but only by Almighty God. Many of you will already know the last verse I will mention. It's found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Here's what it says. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, this verse touches the priorities of life, doesn't it? What is it that you are seeking personally in life? Are you top in your class at school? Popularity? Career advancement? good salary, a marriage partner, a secure future, a happy retirement. You see, as good as all those things may be, they aren't the most important thing in life. Put God's kingdom and His righteousness first. When you do, everything else you need will be given to you. Seeking His righteousness means letting His word set the standard for your life. It means seeking to do that which pleases Him. Now put these four passages together and what do you have? A truly Christian lifestyle, number one. A lifestyle that changes from the inside out. No longer, number three, seeking the praises of men. Number four, seeking God's approval above everything else. This kind of life is possible for all of us. In fact, Jesus plainly says that anyone who lives this way is going to be blessed by God. Sounds good, doesn't it? Why don't we usually live that way? That question leads us to ponder the next thing, the power of hunger. The power of hunger. Have you ever known true hunger? Quite frankly, I doubt if most of us have. To me, hunger means waiting 10 extra minutes for the fresh bread that is to come out of my wife's oven. Hunger for most of us is that sensation in your stomach that makes you want to stop at McDonald's for fries and a Coke, even though you just ate a couple of hours before. Few of us have ever known starvation. Oh, we've seen pictures. We've heard stories on TV and maybe on the internet or on our iPhone. But the truth is, most of us will have plenty to eat. Apparently, Canadians are the best fed people on the face of the earth. I have heard that during the Super Bowl Sunday, which happened the first week in February, it's the biggest football game of the year in the U.S., and Americans and Canadians apparently consumed 8 million pounds of guacamole during that one day. They eat pizza by the acre. They drink an ocean of pop, to say nothing of 1.23 billion chicken wings, 11 million pounds of chips, 3.8 million pounds of popcorn. Wow. It's apparently the biggest eating holiday after Thanksgiving. Most of us gain weight over the holidays, don't we? Our problem isn't finding something to eat. It's trying to lose the fat that comes from eating too much. I know I have to struggle with that myself. So you see, that is our major problem with this particular beatitude. Because we rarely truly hunger and thirst for anything. Thus we miss the urgency of the words that we find here in sacred scripture. Take a moment to consider the words of Proverbs 16:26. It says this, "The laborer's appetite works for him, his hunger drives him on." You see, hunger is a sign that the body needs some fuel. If you could continue to live and work without knowing that you needed food and water, you would actually kill yourself. Just as pain is a sign that something is wrong in the body, so hunger and thirst are signs that something is needed in the body. You see, hunger does have its benefits. It keeps a person going when he'd rather quit. I think, quite frankly, the real problem is that many of us suffer from a kind of spiritual malnutrition. See, if you eat junk food, what is likely to happen? You'll grow fat and you'll grow lethargic over time. And you who are cooks, have you ever spent hours preparing a nice, nutritious meal only to discover that some in the family had no appetite. What happened? Well, quite likely someone found the chocolate chip cookies or something like that and ate them before supper. It ruined their appetite. Here's my point. The tragedy of our time is that so many people are wasting their lives chasing after three things that can never really satisfy in the long run. Money. Some want money to such a degree that they will actually sacrifice their families to get it. Sex. Some want sex so badly they will sacrifice their morals to get it. Power. Some want power so badly they will sacrifice their friends in order to get it. And when they finally get it, it doesn't really satisfy. The prodigal son is a good example of that. He yearned for excitement and popularity. And he found it all in a far country. That didn't last. He soon found himself hungering again, but this time there was nothing to satisfy his hunger. This leads me now to the promise of fulfillment. The final part of the fourth beatitude is a promise that is given to us by God. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for what will happen? What will happen? They will be filled. That's a promise. What? Food? No. Money? No. Long life? No. Promotion? No. A perfect family? No. A trouble-free life? No. What then? Be filled with righteousness. It's really a hunger for holiness. In other words, if you want righteousness or holiness, you can have it. Let me go out on a limb and make a bold statement here. Whatever you want in the spiritual realm, you can have if you truly want it that enough. I don't think we appreciate the importance of that particular truth. Most of us are about as close to God now as we want to be. For the most part, you are where you are right now because that's where you want to be. If you were hungry for something better from God, if you want it, you can have a close walk with God. If you want to, you can do God's will. If you want to, you can grow spiritually. If you want to, you can become a man or woman or a teen of God. If you want to, you can change deeply ingrained bad habits with the help of God. If you want to, you can break destructive patterns of behavior with God's help. In the parable of Luke, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus told of the prodigal son. Father represents God. The prodigal son represents the one who has wandered away from God. The prodigal starts out hungering for the wrong things, ends up getting himself in quite a mess. Not until he does bottom out does he actually come to his senses and chooses to come back home. If the Beatitudes teach us anything, it is that holiness begins in the heart. When you hunger for holiness, you're hungering for God and more of God. To be righteous means to be right with God, right with self, and right with others. The word holy and whole belong to the same family. To be holy involves wholeness. Sin, you see, divides and destroys. But holiness unites and builds. Where are you on the journey of hungering and thirsting after God and His righteousness? Maybe you're at the place of you're not a Christian. If not, why not surrender your life to Him, repent of your sin, and trust Christ as your personal Savior? Or maybe you are a Christian but not living in full potential for God. Friends, things can be different. Jesus said you can experience being filled. He meant exactly that. If you you're weary and heavy burdened, come and find rest, the scripture says. If you're guilty, come and be forgiven. If you've wandered away from God, come back home. French philosopher Pascal said this. He said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in every human heart. Since nature abhors a vacuum, if you don't fill it with the Lord, you are going to fill it with something, something else. Too many, like the prodigal, have filled their hearts with the junk food of this world. I wonder such people end up being so unhappy. There are many people in our world today that have full stomachs, but have empty hearts. They're like little children who won't let go of the marble in order to receive the diamond. No wonder many stay that way. They're trapped in a pit of a thousand excuses. They would rather live the way they are than risk it all for Jesus. St. Augustine explained both the problem and the solution when he made this statement. He said, "Oh God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. You will never be happy until you put God first in your life. You can never do that until you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ." Let me give you some good news. In the kingdom of God, everything begins with a seeking heart. Salvation begins with a hungry heart. If you're tired of the life you've been living, you can make a new start. Whatever you want in the spiritual realm, you can have. But if you want it badly enough. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled." Are you really hungering for more of God? Are you really thirsty? If you are, you will be filled. That is a promise God gives to you. May words of our closing hymn, of course, be sung as a cry of each of our